Welcome to Alive and Remain Ministries. Please stay tuned for the next half hour as prophecy forecaster Pastor John Massey Jr. imparts absolute biblical truth concerning end times. No sensationalism, no spiritualization, no contradictions. Finally, answers that are biblically right. Now, here is your host, Pastor John Massey Jr.
Undetected even by the great apostle Paul, was there was something that was large in his heart that was hidden. Paul did not detect it in the twilight years of his life. Paul, as you know, writes Timothy. He said, Demas, Paul, Timothy, you remember Demas? We were in prison together. We were beaten together. Say, Demas have forsaken me. Why, Paul? Why did Demas forsake you? He was your companion, having loved the present world. Said it was in his heart. He never got it out of his heart. He loved the world. You keep all those little hidden agendas in your heart, time will cause them to be manifested. This is why I pray all the time. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. Heart. Psalmist says, who can understand his ways? The prayer, the psalmist says, cleanse thou me from secret faults. Say, Lord, the possibility exists. I don't trust myself. There might be something in here that I'm not aware of. So every day, Lord, I want you to keep me in check. Search me, oh God. Keep me in check. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. The possibility, not probability. There's a difference between possibility and probability. The possibility exists that there might be secret faults in every one of us. Possibility. But if you love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, it's an improbability. Possibility, yes, but if you give God everything, it is an improbability. That's why we have to sell out. Because we want heaven to be a probability, not an improbability. There have been many great men and women of God that didn't make it. I was told, well, man, I had tremendous admiration for, tremendous. He just keeps losing things. Finally, he's now married to his third wife. Oh, if I could have been like him, that's all I could think of. Oh, Lord, if I could ever know part of the Bible like him, a portion of the Bible, I wouldn't be like him. I recall to my mind another great preacher. And I said as a young man, said, oh, Lord, will I ever be able to preach or teach like him? He too, towards the end, last I heard, missed the mark. How can one grow up in church in the apostolic persuasion, sit under some of the greatest teachers of the time, and still miss it? Simple. Secret fault, it was in the heart. Secret agenda. Did not have that total commitment. And as long as you make that total commitment, you never have to worry about if you're going to make it. What does Jesus emphasize? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me daily. As long as you are in that denial mode, you're on your way. But when it is converted to me, myself, and I, and what is most important to me, I'm now in a threatening position of demise. Life can never be about you and I. It has to be about God. Everything we do is for his sake. Why do we love our enemies? For his sake. Why do we bless those that curse us? For his sake. Why do we pray for them that despitefully use and persecute us? For his sake. Why do we tolerate? For his sake. Why are we patient? For his sake. Why are we kind? For his sake. Everything is for his sake. But when we get to the point that the emphasis shifts on us, we're in that threatening position of demise. Blessed are the pure in heart. Every day say, Lord, let my heart be right. Lord, let my heart be right. It would be a tragedy to walk with God all the time that we have and towards the end miss the mark because something was in there that we didn't give up or surrender. And the greatest tragedy is that all the time we think we're right. Oh God, are we warned that there is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end they are the ways of death. We should pray, Lord, stop me. If I'm treading down the wrong road, if I'm straying, if I'm detouring, Lord, close every door that should be closed. But Lord, if you see my mind beginning to wander, whatever you have to do, Lord, reel me back in. Bring it back where it ought to be. There are so many Christians and apostolics. Oh, God, help them. Everybody has a dream. Everybody has a vision. Everybody has a revelation. Everybody has a word of knowledge. Everybody thinks that God is dealing with them individually. Everybody has a revelation. And so many of them sincere. But the devil can capitalize on sincerity if it is not regulated by the word of God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Help us, rabble-rousers, tattletellers. Blessed are the peacemakers. I don't care if this means home, neighborhood, church, job, anywhere you go. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. God wants us to initiate, take the initiative to be peacemakers. Anyone can be a rabble-rouser. Anyone can be a troublemaker. Anyone could be a brawler. Anyone could be contentious, disgruntled. Anybody can be like that. All we have to do is be natural. It's our inclination to be opposite of what good is. Doesn't take a lot of effort to be contentious. Takes no effort to be contrary. It takes no effort. It's just natural to be that way. He's saying whatever you have to do for the sake of the gospel, say, be a peacemaker. Say, God will consider you a child of God. Verse 10, blessed are they which are, you're blessed. You're blessed. You're blessed. Persecuted. Whatever you're going through for Christ's sake, refer to it as persecution. Someone wronged you. Persecution. Someone talked about you. Persecution. Someone hurt you. Persecution. Persecution. Call it persecution. Don't start that new dynamic today in the church, all over the internet, talking about spiritual abuse. It's everywhere on the internet. No Bible. No Bible. Good psychology. Abuse. The Bible says, unto you is given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but to suffer for his sake. So whatever you're going through, say, it's for his sake. If you're reaping, you say, his sake. Everything is for his sake, because you live a yielded life to Christ. As long as your life is yielded to Christ, it's for his sake. But if your life is not yielded, then it becomes personal. Then psychologically, it is abuse. It's what you call psychological or mental abuse. Who wants to wear a label like that? I'm being mentally abused. That tells you about how weak your mind is mentally. I'm mentally abused. You got a problem. Mentally, you're saying, my mind isn't strong, I can't handle, I can't take it, I'm being abused mentally. Well, what about God? You are taking God out of the equation when you accept I'm being mentally abused. That's not biblical. My Bible tells me that thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusted in thee. There's the problem. Don't have their minds on God. The Bible says, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Persecuted. Every time we think we're being persecuted, our response should be, thank you, Jesus. You say, well, why? Because the Bible said, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In all things, thank him. So, God, I thank you that it wasn't any worse. God never punishes us according to the degree of our crimes. He always lessens it, because every crime we commit, it requires death, because the wages of sin is death. Does God kill us? He mitigates. He lessens the severity of it because of what he did on Calvary. He said, you're blessed. He said, don't you understand, Jesus? He said, look, the Romans are persecuted. He said, you're blessed. You don't like your condition. You don't like the circumstance. You're blessed. So every time you look at a predicament, and because it's not any worse, you're blessed, because God has mitigated it. If the devil had his way, every one of us would be destroyed. If the devil had his way, every one of us would be destroyed. But God, being the merciful God he is, keeps the devil at bay, keeps a hedge around us. And when the devil begins to close up that hedge and begins to squeeze us in, hem us in, he can only do so much. Because God knows how much we can handle. Blessed are ye that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. There's a promise. Kingdom of heaven. Promise. Promise. Then verse 11. Blessed are ye. See, the problem with us, we read this, but we don't embrace it. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you, saying everything they could possibly say, trying to break you down and persecute you, meaning, and they shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. It's for my sake, saying it's a time to rejoice. And wait a minute, let's think, I'm being persecuted, being talked about, ridiculed. But the Lord said, your reaction, your response is, you should rejoice. Like the apostles did. The Bible said, after they were beaten and threatened, said the apostles went from the council rejoicing that they had been counted worthy to suffer for his name's sake. We should rejoice that God considers us worthy to suffer for his name's sake. It means God has placed an honor on us. God so honors us that we suffer for his sake. So rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great, this means incomprehensible. It means unfathomable. Great is your reward. It's saying you can't process it. It's unexplainable. The magnitude, the degree, the immenseness, say it cannot be articulated. That's what it means. Say you can't comprehend it. Great is your reward in heaven. And then the Lord tells those that felt disenfranchised, say, remember, you're not the first one to go through what you're going through. This means you are not the first one that's going through what you're going through. For so persecuted they, the prophets, it means the righteous ones that were before you. Someone has already gone through what we think we're going through. And worse, then he's telling these bewildered, disenfranchised, emotionally shattered Jews, now you are the salt of the earth. Now what is he talking about? After the transformation. Say, now, I'm designating you as the salt of the earth. Say, you're going to preserve. Then get down to verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That defines everything about our lives. Say, conduct yourself in such a way that it brings honor and it honors God. That when everybody see you, they will be aware of the fact that he or she is honoring God in their lives. Let your light so shine that men might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. They never heard a man speak like this before. They weren't even sure who Jesus was. But they're absorbing what he is saying, and they cannot refute anything because no one has ever spoken to them like that before. Then verse 17, he stops them. Think about everything I just outlined for you. He said, now think. Why, Lord, did you want them to think? Come to a conclusion to accept or to reject what I've just said. Said, now think about it. Think about it. What is your conclusion? You will only come to a conclusion by being impulsive or thinking. He did not want their lives to be impulsive anymore. He wanted it to be based on thinking, which is a choice, not just an impulse. Most of us make too many decisions. Impulse, 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 impulse. But he said, think. Stop. Now think. He said, think not because of what I'm teaching you that I've come to be contrary or to destroy the law. See, or anything that is written by the prophets. He said, I want you to understand what I've outlined is that I did not come to destroy. See, I'm coming to fulfill the integrity of the genuineness of the law and the prophets. See, not what you have been taught, not what you have been thinking. He said, but I am coming to fulfill the integrity and the genuineness of the law and the prophets. So he tells them to think. Stop. See, your thinking requires a pause. You must meditate. You must reflect. You must ponder. Think. Pause. Pause. Think. So don't act yet. Think. Chapter 6, verse number 7. And when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think. See, they're under the conclusion or the deception. They think that they shall be heard because of much speaking. They're in a delusion. They think just because they do a lot of speaking, a lot of chanting, a lot of repetition, that that's the answer. Then go with me to chapter 6, verse 24. Now, please pay attention to this. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Say, it is impossible. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. One must transcend the other. They are not co-equal. One must transcend. One must be higher and one must be lower. Mammon is material wealth or gains, material things that have a debasing influence. They influence you contrary. That's why the Bible said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is the world is the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Say, don't love them, don't love them. Say, it's one or the other. It's yea or nay. Say, your life will be governed, will be driven, it will be premised by God or the world. And look what he says. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought. He said, now when it comes to this principle, this is one principle you don't have to think about. And he's talking about a yielded life. Once your life is yielded to God, there are no longer worries. A yielded life to God will not allow anxiety and worrying to exist. You will be tempted to worry, but because you're so yielded, when you bring all of your burdens, your precious to him, God becomes your release valve. All your sorrows and your hurts, everything that will cause you to mourn, you shall be comforted. Come unto me, Jesus said. All you that labor heavy laden, he said, I'll give you rest. So anxiety cannot coexist with comfort of rest. One of the most incredible things that the devil does to the people of God is to get us to worry. It's nothing more than a trick. It's an illusion. You say, why? Jesus says, I will not leave you comfortless. He said, I will come unto you. I will send you the comforter. Well, the opposite of unrest or anxiety is to have comfort. How can we have the comforter in us and suffer from anxiety? It's mental and it's psychological. It's an illusion in our minds. Because we have the comfort to the Holy Ghost inside of us. So we're living under illusions. Yes, is nothing more than deception. That's why the Bible said, bring every thought to the obedience of Christ. Casting down imagination is nothing more than an illusion and an imagination in your mind, because God is the comforter. Where is the Lord? He's in us. He's the comforter. See how the devil just beats us up all the time? Keeps us living under illusion when the Lord says, I will not leave you comfortless. The The problem is, we won't conform to his word. He tells us about, again, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are pure, just, honest, lovely, of good report, any virtues, any praise. Say, what? Think on not the illusions. Anxiety for the child of God is nothing but an illusion, and yet we embrace it. Worry, 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 worry. Devil has the church saints reeling back and forth with anxiety, worrying. He said, well, Pastor, what if I die? Die! That goes for me too. Die! Job says, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand the latter days, the end days upon the earth. He said, and when I am tried, I shall come forth as gold. Paul says, having a desire to depart and be with Christ.
You've been listening to Pastor John Massey Jr. with Alive and Remain Ministries. To order a copy of this message in its entirety, please call 518-272-6679. That's 518-272-6679. To immediately access this message and others online, visit aliveandremain.podbean.com. That's aliveandremain.podbean.com. Alive and Remain Ministries is a part of the Redemption Church of Christ. Visit on the web, redemptionchurch.net.